Amen. Did y'all bring a Bible tonight? Hold them up and let me see them, please. Thank you. Let's go to Matthew chapter 26. I'm so excited about being with you tonight. I absolutely love partaking of communion. I love communion services. I love services where we focus on celebrating the body and the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. But I want to take just a minute before we get started, and I just want to say thank you from the bottom of my heart. Marcia already said it once, but I'm going to say it again. Man, y'all bought in Sunday. The Bible says, write the vision down, that they may run who read it. And you guys read the vision for the last 4 weeks, and you ran with it. And first service Sunday morning, we had 399 people here. We had 4 or 5 people saved on the morning. We had 283 at second service. And for a pilot, I could not have imagined that service going any better. And that shows me that we are ready. We were about 600 plus on the morning, not counting doubles. That's 20% higher than where we were last year. And you ain't seen nothing until this Sunday, amen? So let's give God glory for that. Thank you so much. I mean, if y'all don't participate, we can't do that. There's nothing like dragging a bunch of anchors, you know? It just is no fun. I'm just going to go start a church in the Bahamas. But y'all make it too fun to be a pastor. So you ain't got nothing to worry about. I'd rather be in Troy than the Bahamas. So thanks so much for all our helps ministries, man. You guys were awesome, hung out all morning. I mean, we blew the donut company away. She couldn't believe when Marcia called back today and, like, doubled the order or whatever she did with it. She was like, what are y'all doing with them? I think we went through, like, 8 or 12 dozen donuts Sunday morning. I thought that was pretty cool. But anyway, donuts for Jesus. Matthew chapter 26. Y'all have done an awesome job with the invite cards, and I've had the privilege of witnessing people using them, but I've got a stack of CDs left there. They're from 2 weeks ago about how to grow stronger in the gap and how praying the prayer of faith, we can actually believe God to move in our life, not just our neighbors. How many of you know somebody that you either weren't here for that or you know somebody it would bless? Would you just raise up your hand and hold it up? I think we've got maybe 20 or 30 of them there. Melvin, just give them out. If you need more than one, just ask him for more than one. Joanne needs one right here. If I could have one more guy help Melvin, somebody jump up and help him out there. Just keep your hands up and they'll make their way to you. Amen. Okay, we're going to get going. Just keep your hands up while they're passing those out, and we'll get that done. Matthew chapter 26, we're going to begin reading in verse 26. And this is the night that Jesus was betrayed, and they're partaking of Passover dinner together. And the Bible says this: as they were eating, Jesus took some bread and blessed it, and then he broke it in pieces and gave it to the disciples. I love that. Jesus took bread, he blessed it, and he broke it. Jesus took bread, blessed it, and then he broke it in pieces and gave it to the disciples, saying, take, eat, for this is my body. Take this and eat it, for this is my body. And he took a cup of wine and gave thanks to God for it. He gave it to them and said, each of you drink from it, for this is my blood, which confirms the covenant between God and his people. It is poured out as a sacrifice to forgive the sins of many. Mark my words, I will not drink wine again until the day I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. Jesus says that I'm not going to partake of this drink at this meal with you again until we do it when we meet him in heaven to do it there. Verse 30, then they sang a hymn and went out to the Mount of Olives. Now, the first four books in the New Testament are called the Gospels. They are Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. They are four different accounts of the same story. Just like tonight as we leave this place, each of us could tell the story of what happened here, but our stories wouldn't be the exact same. And so as we read each of their stories, it gives us a little bit bigger picture of what actually took place. And so I want you to go over to Luke chapter 22, verse 14. Luke chapter 22, verse 14. And we're going to look at it in Luke's gospel. Luke was a physician, so he records with great detail. Luke chapter 22, verse 14. Says this: when the hour had come, he sat down and the 12 apostles with him, And then he said to them, with fervent desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say to you, I will no longer eat of it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. Verse 17, then he took the cup and he gave thanks and said, take this and divide it among yourselves. For I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. Verse 19, and he took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Jesus wanted to make sure we would remember what he was about to do. Verse 20. Likewise, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant. Somebody say new covenant. Covenant is a contract. This is the new covenant. This is the new contract. This is the new agreement in my blood, which is shed for you. He said, this is my body that's given for you, and this is my blood, which is shed for you. Let's flip over. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23. This is the Apostle Paul and his account. For I pass on to you what I received from the Lord himself on the night when he was betrayed. The Lord Jesus took some bread and gave thanks to God for it. Then he broke it in pieces and said, this is my body. Somebody say his body. This is my body, which is given for you. Somebody say for me. Okay. Do this to remember me. Do this to remember me. In the same way, he took the cup of wine after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant between God and his people, an agreement confirmed with my blood. Do this to remember me as often as you drink it. For every time, I like this, for every time you eat this bread and drink this cup, you are announcing the Lord's death until he comes again. Understand that Jesus says, after he gives them instruction on how to receive what we call communion, he tells them, I want you to do this in remembrance of me. I want you to do this to remember me. One of the most important things we can do, and that we do as a church, is that we remember the shed blood and the broken body of Jesus Christ. Without those two things, nothing we do, nothing that goes on, no ministry and no activity has any meaning or significance. Everything we believe, everything we do comes back to what's represented on the table tonight. And so this is a time when we remember the price that he paid for us. It helps us not to forget, because you know we can be a forgetful people. We like to think we're not, but the children of Israel, we're not so different from them. God brought them out and delivered them and set them free and did wonderful and mighty miracle after miracle, and they continued to forget, they continued to murmur, they continued to complain. We do the exact same thing. And that's one of the reasons for communion, is to remind us of what Jesus has done for us. It helps us not to forget it, not to take it for granted, the incredible life we have because of his sacrifice. Because here's the thing, we say this a lot, that salvation is a free gift. And that's absolutely true, but there's two sides to that coin. Who is it free for? Us. But it certainly wasn't free to Jesus. It cost him everything. The gospel, salvation, is free, but it wasn't cheap. Somebody had to pay. As my pastor would say, talk's cheap, it costs money to ride the bus. Jesus had to pay for us to ride the bus. Amen? And thank God that the marquee on top says heaven. That's good news tonight. And so communion reminds us also of the price he paid. It kind of recharges us and reinvigorates our gratitude and us understanding that God's best belongs to you right now because of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen to this quote. Andrew Murray said, where the blood is honored in faith or preaching, there the Spirit works. Where he works, he always leads souls to the blood. Where the blood is honored in faith or preaching, there the Spirit works. And where he works, he always leads souls to the blood. Every single service at Victory Church, you see an emphasis on three primary things. Number one, the sacrifice of our Savior. Number two, the authority of God's Word. And number three, the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit. At every single service, we are lifting up the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. The blood is being honored in this house. That's why so many people get saved here, because there's life in the blood. The life of the gospel is all in the blood of Jesus Christ. That's why we must embrace the cross, no matter how messy, no matter how ugly, no matter how beyond our imagination it might be. We must embrace the bloody cross, because it's through that blood that was shed that we are now able to become the children of God. It's the blood of Jesus Christ that makes me fit as a vessel for the Holy Spirit to live in. It's only because of His blood that the Holy Spirit can live on the inside of me. Jesus said, if you put new wine into old wineskins, they burst. But you put new wine into new wineskins. Wine ferments once it sits, and it expands. There's a force on the inside. Jesus was speaking specifically in the wineskin about your body, about your life. He was saying, I can't put my new wine, my Holy Spirit, in your old wineskin. That's why the Bible says, unless a man's born again, unless he becomes new from the inside out, unless we're washed in the blood of Jesus, our lives are not fit or equipped to be containers of the Holy Spirit. If the Holy Spirit of God were to come into the spirit of a dead person, their body would literally explode like something off of Indiana Jones. That's how powerful the blood of Jesus Christ is to cleanse you, so that the Spirit of Almighty God, that is omnipotent, omnipresent, and omniscient, the one who formed and fashioned everything you see in this universe, can live on the inside of you without you literally exploding. And that's awesome tonight, to think that He lives in us. Where the blood is honored, the presence of God descends and miracles take place. Thank God for the blood tonight. Communion helps us to refocus. Somebody say refocus. It helps us to refocus. Communion is something Jesus directly commanded us to do. Okay? Nothing renews our focus like communion. At communion, we come back to the cross. We get our eyes off the world. We get our eyes off of life. We should. We get our eyes off of whatever it is that's been going on around us this week. And we focus on the fact that Jesus Christ finished the work of salvation for us at the cross of Calvary. Now, that doesn't mean there's no work left to be done. It means that we don't have to earn our salvation. I don't work for God. I don't do things for God so I'll be saved. I do them because I'm saved. I was created in Christ Jesus for good works that He prepared before me beforehand. Amen? God has called us to do things. You're not just saved from something, you're saved for something. Living for Jesus Christ is not just about getting ready for the last day of your life. It's about making the most of every day of your life. It's about living a life on purpose, with a purpose, and for a purpose. That's good news tonight, okay? Now, communion, here's another thing it does. It reunites us. I love this. One of the reasons why there's such unity in this church is because this is a church that emphasizes the sacrifice of our Savior. It's a church that emphasizes the fact that nobody is better and nobody is worse. We were all sinners who came to the cross the same way, dirty. At the cross, it's level. There's not a hierarchy at the foot of the cross. At the cross, everybody's the same height, no matter who you are. Amen? You don't have to wear platform shoes at the foot of the cross. Okay? For those of you who are vertically challenged, that's good news. At the foot of the cross, we're all the same height. We come the same way. We came as sinners who had fallen short of the glory of God. But God reached down and was able to save us and wash us from our sins and cleanse us. So when we come back to this table, anything in me that even started to become prideful and puffed up and smack of I'm in some way better than you, all of a sudden is laid to waste, and everybody is on the same level, and we all come the same way. We were all sinners in need of a Savior, and His name is Jesus Christ. Communion reminds us. Somebody say it reminds us. It reminds us that He loves us. I don't know about you, but I need that reminder. I need Marcia to remind me about 83 times a day that she loves me. I like to hear it. What's too much for other people? What smothers them? You're just getting started for me. I need to hear it. I need the reminder. Listen, when we come to this table, it's a reminder. God loves you. We need to hear that. We need to be telling that. 1 John 4:9. Watch this.
God showed how much he loved us by sending his one and only son into the world so that we might have eternal life through him. This is real love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son as a sacrifice to take away our sins. That's what real love is all about. Dear friends, since God so loved us that much, we surely ought to love each other. So when I come to this table, it's a reminder to me that not only have I been loved, not only have I received love, but I have the power to love, amen? I have the power to love the way God loves me. So powerful tonight. Lastly, when we take communion, we are retelling. Somebody say retelling. We are retelling the gospel. The gospel is very simple. The gospel is simply this. It is the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And those who believe in that story shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Every time we take communion, there is bread there, and there is a cup of juice, of grape juice, of wine. And Jesus said, the bread represents my body that's going to be broken for you. And the cup represents my blood that's going to be shed for you. And so every time we take communion, we are telling the world and each other that Jesus Christ, the Son of God and Savior of man, lived, died, was buried, and he rose again. And not only do we believe these things, but we haven't forgot them. I said, we haven't forgot them. And so we honor them in the way we live. We honor these things, these elements, in the way we choose to conduct our lives. We live lives worthy of his sacrifice. And this evening, as you receive communion and they pass it down the aisle there, I want you to take it and just hang on to it for a minute. I'm going to give you some more instructions in just a moment here.
What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow
Jesus. Oh, precious is
Father, tonight, we're so grateful for the blood of your Son, Jesus. Father, we praise you that there's life in the blood. We thank you, Jesus, that you gave your life, you gave your blood, the guiltless for the guilty. Jesus, we're so grateful tonight, and we honor your sacrifice, and we love you so much. Church, let me tell you tonight that God could care less about rituals, okay? We serve a God who has always wanted the same thing, and that is a covenant relationship. That's why we have the beautiful picture in the New Testament of Christ and the church like a husband and a wife. A very special and a very intimate relationship that you share with that person that you don't share with anybody else. And that's what we have with God. He's a jealous God. He's crazy about you. He loves you. He's not crazy. He's crazy about you. His love for you is so radical and so relentless that when the sin that we committed, that separated us from him, had put that gap between us, he wanted us to be a part of his life so bad he was willing to do anything. He was willing to pay any price. And he came and paid the price that we owed. That's so incredible. And so what I want to say to you is that when we take communion, this is not just something that we just do to do it. It's not dead. It's not lifeless. God's not interested in doing things for the sake of giving you busy work. If you know anything about Victory Church, we don't believe in busy work. We believe in kingdom work. Amen. And when there's kingdom work going on, things get built. We serve a God who's a builder. Tonight we're building. We're laying another stone. Amen. So when you partake of communion tonight, understand that the cup represents the blood of Jesus. The bread represents the body of Jesus. It does not become his blood or doesn't become his body when it's in your mouth. There's nothing special about it. Came from Tops. But when we use it to represent the Lord's body and the Lord's blood, here's what happens. We take it by faith. We've talked over the last several weeks about a point of contact, a place where I can reach out and release my faith for God to be God in my life. I don't know about you, but I need God to be God in my life. And so here's what I want you to do tonight. When you take communion, don't just take communion. Just like, don't just come to church. When you take communion, you take everything Jesus paid for. You stop hanging your head. Maybe you're here tonight. You've felt like in the past you've been shamed by other churches or denominations that have made you feel unworthy, like you didn't deserve to take communion. That's a lie from the pit of hell. Jesus Christ died on the cross for every person. Nobody's unredeemable. And God is able to save you to the uttermost. No matter what your sin may have been, you are worthy to take communion tonight, not because of what you've done, but because of what he did. And that's awesome for us tonight. Don't you ever hang your head again. You can have boldness because of this table to run into the presence of God and say, Daddy, I'm home. He always loves to see you. And so as we take communion tonight, take communion. Take everything Jesus bought for you. If you have a need in your life tonight, I want you to reach out to him because Jesus paid the price for that need to be supplied, for your need to be met tonight, whatever it might be. This is all about reconciliation. If you have some issue with a loved one or with a friend, man, God is able to reconcile that relationship. If he reconciled us to him through the blood of Jesus, he'll do the same with your family members. That's so powerful tonight that we understand that. So here's what I want you to do. We're going to take communion. Normally, I pray and then we all take it, but I don't want to do that tonight because, you know, really, I don't at this church want to build the culture where you depend on me for too much. I need to know that if I was gone tomorrow, you'd be okay. Amen? And so we've got to be a people who learn to grow in God to the point where we stand up for ourselves and we can help other people grow in God so that they can stand up for themselves. And so tonight we're going to worship because the Bible says that after they took communion, they sang a hymn. So we're going to sing some songs tonight. Really, here's the deal. When we sing, we don't just do anything. We're not just singing words. But when we sing as saved people, we're singing to Jesus. We're singing for an audience of one. These guys aren't up here singing for y'all. They're not up here playing for y'all. They're up here playing and singing for Jesus. You just get to hear it. Okay? And so what we do is we take the lyrics that you see on the screen,
And we sing them to Jesus as prayers that come from our hearts. And when we do that, the Bible makes it very clear that that is extremely pleasing to God. As a matter of fact, it's the sacrifice that He desires from His people, that our hearts would unlock that praise and we'd offer it back up to heaven. And so tonight, rather than me praying over the cup and me praying over the bread, I want you to put in your own words what Jesus going to the cross and having His body broken and whipped, what shedding His blood means to you. I want you to put that in your own words, and I want you to give that to Him. And then I want you to take communion when you're ready. You can eat the bread, you can drink the cup, and then you can stand. Because I believe if we stand up for the president when he walks into a room, we ought to stand up for the King of Kings and Lord of Lords when he walks into a room. And he said, where two or three are gathered together in my name, I'll be there in the midst of you. So you can know tonight that the promise of his presence is very real, and that Jesus Christ, the Alpha and the Omega, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the Son of God and Savior of man, the hope of heaven and the hero of humanity, is in this place tonight. Can we give him the... Well, y'all can't because you got your hands full.